proud to present the best from old-time radio. We hope you'll enjoy this holiday episode from the golden age of radio.
From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Gary Crosby, Candy Bergen, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Ladies and gentlemen, today being Christmas, our purpose is to bring you exactly what we think you'd like to hear. And since one of the most popular shows on the air is the Panel Quiz Show, we now bring you our own version of just such a program. Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present that exciting new show that tries to guess your occupation. What the devil do you do?
Good evening, friends. I am your moderator, John Weekly. Once again, it is time to play What the Devil Do You Do? And now, here is our first contestant. Sir, will you tell our panel of experts your name and hometown?
Yeah, sure. My name is Axel Svensson, and I come from Puget Sound, English.
Mr. McCarthy, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah.
Have you guessed this man's occupation?
His occupation? Well, I know he's no actor. that's correct. I wasn't one of them.
Tell me, my good man, by any chance are you English?
No, my goodness me, no. No, I'm not English, no.
Well, then I don't think it's very important what you do, Frank.
Well, I'll say he's half Swedish and half Hawaiian.
Half Swedish and half Hawaiian?
Yep.
There's no such thing.
Of course there is. Haven't you heard of Swede Leilani? Swede Leilani.
They got him in my throat. How are you fixed for blades?
Crosby, I think I'll give you a good sock right in the nose.
How do you like that? Them that has gets
all. Now. Now, panel, please. As usual, to start off our program, you will each get a free guess at what Mr. Svensson does for a living.
Yeah, but let's see if you can guess just what exactly I do. Can you scrutinize what my occupation is? I think he looks like a loser from the medic.
That ain't right. I think he works as a test pilot for garbage disposal.
I think he manufactures hot milk tables.
Hot milk tables?
Yes, for people who can't sleep in the same room as coffee tables. You know,
oh, I see.
Oh, steady, stomach, steady.
And that's a lot to steady, too.
Keep quiet, you, or I'll blister your varnish. Varnish.
You poor man's Dorothy Kilgallen. Remember, I'm on this panel.
Let's face it, you are a panel.
Now look, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Stomach. All I can say
to you... Oh, just a minute now. Whoa. Hold everything now.
Gentlemen, please, gentlemen. As for you, Swede, with the head that's coming through the weeds.
Yeah, well, I've been insulted now.
I better go back to Puget Sound. And my job there is in the pewter factor. I make pewter pots. I'll pee you.
Good night, everyone.
Here's Carol Richards singing, If You Don't Want My Love.
If you don't want my love, then I know who I'll give it to. If you don't want my love, if you don't know the thrill that makes my heart stand still, if you don't feel then I know one who will. If our kind of love can die, then just say goodbye, be crying. Now that you've set me free, there is no regret for me. There's someone new in place of you. If you don't want my love,
if you don't feel just the same I feel, then I know of one who will.
If our kind of love can die,
if our love should die, then just say goodbye.
I won't be crying.
Will you be crying?
Ladies and gentlemen, we now bring you our Meet the People department, and tonight we think we have a real treat for you. Our guest has had a very busy month, but today, Christmas Day, his work is done, and a lot of children, both young and old, are a lot happier for it. Through the courtesy of Santa Claus, we present one of his helpers, Mr. Frank Fawcett.
Thank you, and a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, welcome to our show, Mr. Santa Claus Helper. You know, you look so much like that jolly old fellow, I could have sworn that when I first saw you that you were Santa himself.
Well, that's what everyone says. It's because all Santa's helpers dress exactly as he does. Maybe he's a little stouter than we are. His eyes are probably lots merrier, but we try to look as much like him as we can.
Now, are you a full-time Santa helper?
No, I just help out during the Christmas season. The rest of the year, I'm the supervising engineer for the Broadway department stores. I'm at the service building over on Mission Road.
Oh, yes. Isn't that where the old Selig Zoo used to be? And later it was the Louis B. Mayer studio.
That's right, Edgar. Yeah. I was an actor at that time, and my present office is on the exact spot where my old dressing room used to be.
Well, now, that's an interesting story behind the Santa Claus helper. Well, that certainly is an unusual coincidence, too. What were some of the pictures that you made at that studio then?
Well, I worked in the Three Musketeers, Douglas Fairbanks, Jr.
Yes.
Scene or two, we're the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And Dr. Verna Haddon-Hall, Test the Storm Country with Mary Pickford. And I worked in the Sons of the Sheik with Rudolph Valentino, Anna Christie with Greta Garbo, and I made pictures with Gloria Swanson and Barbara Lamar. She was called a woman who was too beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But those pictures are all old and forgotten now, Edgar.
Oh, I don't know. They'll probably be popping up on TV any night now. I think it's wonderful that now you're making a career out of being Santa Claus's helper. What was the most number of children you've ever handled in one session?
Well, I once had 500 children sit on my lap in 1 hour. That's almost 10 a minute going through.
Yeah. Your lap must have looked like the Hollywood Freeway.
Well, I seldom finish the day with a dry lap.
Yeah. Well, yes, I can see where that might happen. I guess that's one of your occupational hazards, I guess they would call that. And what do they want in these days? I imagine that tastes and toys have changed radically through the years.
Not really. Little girls still ask for dolls and baby buggies, little toy kitchens, irons, nurses' outfits.
And what do the boys ask for?
Well, they want mechanical toys. As always, spaceships, scientific gadgets, and more fantastic the better.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. The boy across the street from us got quite a present. It's a home atom bomb kit. On the box it said, "Be the first on your block to rule the world." I hope the house is still there. What about the old-fashioned presents like model trains? I always liked them.
Yes, that's for us older boys, Edgar. The children have to grow up to them.
Yeah. I guess they have to be big enough and strong enough to get them away from their dads. Well, what about some of these boys and girls who don't believe in Santa Claus? You run into them, don't you?
Yes, all the little tots believe in him, and that's only when they start to school they hear the other children doubt there's a Santa Claus. And though the teenagers are often cynical, then about 20 they begin to smile and look at him again.
Do you ever get requests from teenagers?
Yes, the other day a pretty little blonde about 14 sidled up to me, and she pointed to a boy about her age and says, "Sandy, I want him."
And she probably didn't even care if he was gift-wrapped. Well, would you have a word of advice for Charlie?
Oh, sure, but I think Charlie pretends to be lots smarter than he is, Edgar.
Yeah, how do you mean that?
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. He asked me for Marilyn Monroe in his stocking this year. But I think he's just as happy with a tricycle. That's a lot more fun.
Yes, well, of course. Charlie would probably have a good answer for that. And now that your work is over for another year, Mr. Santa Claus's helper, I guess you'll be returning to your job at the Broadway Department Store service building.
That's right. But next year I'll be Santa's helper again, I hope.
Well, thanks for being with us tonight, and good night to you.
It was my pleasure, Edgar. Good night, and a Merry Christmas to you all.
And now it's time for our singing group, the Mellow Men. What are you going to sing tonight, fellows?
Look out the window.
Well, thank you, Hildegard Maestro.
Look out the window, look out the window, see the snowflakes fall. Look out the window, look out the window, winter's come to call. Children singing, sleigh bells ringing as they glide along. Look out the window, look out the window, singing the winter song.
Out there where the snowman stands on the icy lawn, children run to shake his hand, for when the sunshine he'll be gone.
Hurry, hurry, see the flurry, winter won't last long. Look out the window, look out the window, singing the winter song. Hear the voices shouting, oh goodness, what an outing. It's winter again. See the snowflakes falling, winter sparks are calling. It's winter time again.
Look out the window,
look out the window, see the snowflakes fall. Look out the window, look out the window, winter's come to call. Children singing, sleigh bells ringing as they glide along. Look out the window, look out the window, singing the winter song.
Out there where the snowman stands on the icy lawn, children run to shake his hand, for when the sun shines he'll be gone.
Hurry, hurry, see the flurry, winter won't last long. Look out the window, look out the window, singing the winter song. Singing the winter song. Singing the winter song.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is a time for children, and in that spirit, we'd like to present one of the favorite children's stories of all time, Little Red Riding Hood. However, with one slight variation. We've always heard Little Red Riding Hood's version. Tonight, Charlie McCarthy thinks we ought to hear the wolf's side of the story. According to Charlie, this is what really happened.
I am the wolf, and you know what happened to me. They operated on me to remove one grandmother, but I was innocent. Let me tell you how I got into this mess. It all began in Red Riding Hood's cottage.
I'm home, Father. Any messages for me?
Oh, yes, Red, my daughter. I want you to drop in on your poor ailing grandmother and give her this oxtail soup that I fixed for her.
Why, Father, I didn't think you knew how to make oxtail soup.
Oh, it's actually very simple. You just go as far back on the ox as you can and dunk.
Very well, Father. I'm off to Grandmother's.
Yes, but do be careful, Red. There's a wicked wolf in the woods, and if he starts to run after you, shout.
Oh, I will. After he catches me.
After he catches you.
Well, if I'm going to shout, I want to have something to shout about.
Well, there was Little Red Riding Hood on her way to her grandmother's house, unless something more interesting turned up. Little did I know, I was her target for tonight. There I was, lying under a tree, looking for butterflies. I was too bashful to look at the birds and bees. When she sashays up to me in a strapless, backless riding hood.
Hello, you great, big, gorgeous wolf.
Now, you stand back, lady. You're singeing my fur.
Do you mind if I sit down next to you on this log?
Well, I suppose that'll be okay. You know, lady, you kind of smell kind of pretty.
Oh, thank you. It's a perfume I'm wearing called Nuit d'Amour.
Oh, as much as that, huh?
What's that you're wearing?
You noticed it, eh?
Yes.
That's gopher hole number 5. I was there.
Oh, Wolfie, I'm sitting on one end of this log, and you're sitting on the other end.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, doesn't it give you any ideas?
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah! You want to play seesaw?
Oh, they're not making wolves the way they used to. Look. I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
I'll move a little closer if you'll move a little closer.
Well, okay.
Now a little closer.
Okay. There.
You passed me.
Yeah. I've played this game before, girl.
Oh, Wolfie. Why are you so afraid of girls?
Well, now, you take my brother. He met a girl. He put his arms around her and she screamed, and before he knew it.
Yes?
Skin dyed and passing for a mink.
Oh, I'm going to find myself a real date. Wolfie, honey, do me a favor and deliver this soup to my grandmother.
No.
Oh, please, Wolfie, pretty, please.
So, Little Red turned on the tears, and me, I got soft-hearted, and besides, I figured I was helping a sweet little old lady. When I got to that gray-haired grandma, the first thing she said to me when she saw me was, Oh, goody, man. But I'm a wolf.
That's the best kind.
Yahoo! Holy smokes, it runs in the family. Calm down, Grandma. Act your age, will you?
Age? I may be a grandmother, but I'm still young. I'm just pushing 40.
Oh, you must be pretty strong. You pushed it right into 70.
Oh, you're so cute.
Yeah.
Come on, lover boy. How about a game of spin the hot water bottle?
No, Granny, no. I just came here because Red Riding Hood sent me, and I brought you some oxtail soup.
Oxtail?
Yeah.
I'd rather have ox's foot.
What's the idea, huh?
Well, I want something with a kick in it.
Nail down my wig, Sonny. I'm blowing my top tonight.
Somebody must have spiked her bran flakes.
You're right. I did.
Oh.
But it's so sweet of you to bring poor old Grandma that soup. Because I can't do any cooking. You see, I hurt my hand.
Oh, what a pity, what a pity. What did you do to it?
I scratched my knuckles trying to make 4 the hard way. And that cotton-picking little Joe just wouldn't show.
Oh, Granny, I'll put the soup over here and cover it with your racing form.
Okay. Look, it's 10 o'clock. I just got time to run down to Joe's dance hall. I'm entered in the mambo contest.
Dancing the mambo at your age? Oh, Grandma, how are you going to wind up?
I'm wound up. Now I'm ready to let go.
Come back, Grandma. Well, what did your granddaughter, Red Riding Hood, say if she finds that you're out?
She mustn't. Wolfie, you've got to cover for me.
Well,
here, put on my lace cap and my bed jacket and hold down the fort for me. Woo! There's going to be a hot time! The old time tonight!
How I get in some of the darndest messes. And that's the truth, so help me. There I was in the lace cap and the bed jacket doubling for Grandma. When all of a sudden... Oh, now I'm in the spot. I got to be Grandma now.
Come in.
Hello, Grandma. My, your feet are sticking out of the covers and they look so furry.
Yes, they do, don't they, darling? Those are woolen booties, dearie, I'm wearing.
Booties?
Yeah.
But, Grandmother, there are long claws on them.
No, so there are, yes. And those are the needles. I'm still knitting them.
Why, Grandmother, what a strange-looking nose you have.
Yes, well, I'll tell you, I broke it when I was an actress. I overshot the runway.
Wait a minute. You're not my grandma. You're the wolf.
Okay, you've got me now.
This time you won't get away. Come on, give me a kiss.
No, I won't do it.
All right for you, I'm going to fix you.
No.
Help!
No.
Help! He ate my grandmother! The wolf ate my grandmother!
Well, now there's a new twist on the old badger game.
Help! Help!
Oh, shut up.
Grandmother eater! Grandmother eater!
Oh, shut up.
Hello, gal. I'm Jack Kirkwood, your local grandmother protector.
This wolf has swallowed my grandmother.
Well, heavens to Duncan Hines. That's awful, boy. I think I'll just have to take my axe and operate.
Now, Kirkwood, you won't find Grandma in my stomach.
Well, maybe I won't, boy. Oh. But we'll just have to take pot luck. Yes, boy.
Kirkwood, are you sure you can perform surgery?
Why, certainly, gal. I once operated on a burlesque queen who wanted the scar where it wouldn't show.
What did you do?
Simple. I operated on her sister.
Oh.
Well, are you ready, boy?
No, please. Now, if you must operate, what about an anesthetic?
Oh, yes. I think I'll take one. I can't stand the sight of blood. Well, here we go with the operation. Oh, a tisket, a tasket. Would you like a yellow casket?
No. I think I'd like to double my blue cross. Look, I'm innocent. Please, take an x-ray first.
No, I'll do that afterwards, boy. Then I can check and see what instruments I've left inside of you.
This is awful. Will this operation leave much of a scar?
Well, of course not, boy. You have your choice. I use the lazy-daisy stitch, or, if you prefer, I do spot welding. Well, here we go again. Oh, I'll be sawing you in all the old familiar places.
Oh, Wolfie, I'm back, and I won the mambo contest.
It's Grandmother.
You see, I'm innocent. Get me a lawyer. The world is going to hear the truth.
Oh, no, Wolfie, you can't do that. Your secret must die in this room.
Well, why?
Do you want to ruin the number one whodunit for all those kids?
Bergen, isn't there something you're forgetting?
Forgetting?
Yeah. I'm trying to give you a gentle reminder, Bergen.
Oh, of course you're right, Charlie. I'll do it now. Ladies and gentlemen, to you and yours from the makers of the new gentle Philip Morris, the best wishes for the merriest of Merry Christmases.
And a gentle New Year.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, in the spirit of Christmas, let us all join Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, and the Mellow Men in the ever-popular Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas looked down on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came inside, gathering winter fuel.
Hear their page and stand by me. If thou know'st it telling, yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling?
Sire, he lives a goodly kent, underneath a mountain, right against a forest fence, by St. Agnes Fountain.
Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear him thither.
Page and monarch, forth they went together. Through the rude winds wild lament and the bitter weather.
Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not why, I can go no longer.
Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly.
Therefore, Christian, and be sure, well, for rank contesting,
ye who now shall bless the poor,
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Merry Christmas, everybody! And Happy New Year to you!
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Spurd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Gloria Gordon, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, Candy Bergen, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Hilda Black, and Zeno Clinker. This is John Easton speaking.
In place of our regular program, Recording Library of West Texas is proud to present the best from old-time radio. We hope you'll enjoy this holiday episode from the golden age of radio.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your new neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by Maxwell House.
the coffee that's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand of coffee at any price. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop. It was Samuel Johnson who said, and with good reason, I'm sure, every man naturally persuades himself that he can keep his resolutions. Nor is he convinced of his imbecility, but by length of time and frequency of experiment. Well, in Springfield, in the white frame house on Maple Street, just such an experiment is about to begin, like this. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, dear. Breakfast will be ready in just a moment.
That's all right, dear. No hurry. Kids aren't down yet, are they?
Well, no, but... Well, it is a holiday, Jim, and I just thought...
Oh,
that...
it's all right with me, Margaret. After all, this is the last day of the year, and it's Saturday, and... Well, they deserve a little extra rest, don't they?
Well, yes, dear.
Anyway, it gives me a chance to tell you about something. I've had it on my mind for quite a while, and... Well, it's about time I did something about it.
Yes, dear.
From now on, I'm not going to lose my temper. At any time. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's wonderful, but...
During 1950, I'm going to be the soul of patience. At home, at the office, everywhere. Patient old Jim, that's what they're going to call me.
Jim?
Yes, Margaret?
You remember my grandmother Williams, not one of my real grandmothers. She was the one who took care of my mother when she was living in Middletown after the lumber company sent my father to Oregon and my sister Kathleen was born.
No.
What?
I don't remember her.
Oh, well, she used to have a wonderful saying for people who wanted to control their tempers.
Margaret, I don't need any special formula. I just won't lose my temper, that's all.
I know, dear, but Grandmother Williams used to say, if you think your temper's going, just recite the Hottentot. And before you're halfway finished, why, it's back as like as not.
Well, that's very pretty, but I'd rather do it my way. I just won't lose my temper.
Well, Jim, if you were really sincere, you'd at least let me tell you what the Hottentot is.
I don't care what the Hottentot is. I don't need the Hottentot. Why do you immediately leap to the conclusion that I need help in controlling my temper? I just won't lose it, that's all.
You've already lost it.
Now, look, Margaret, I... All right, what's the Hottentot?
Well, it's just an old saying we had when I was a girl. If to hoot and to toot, a Hottentot tot be taught by a Hottentot tutor, ought the tutor get hot if the Hottentot tot hoot and toot at the Hottentot tutor? That's all there is to it.
I'd rather lose my temper.
Jim!
Well, I'm not going to walk around babbling like a 6-year-old idiot in search of a brain. To hoot and to toot. Silliest darn thing I've ever heard. Doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does, dear. You see, it says that if a Hottentot tutor teaches a Hottentot tot to hoot and toot, well, the tutor has no one but himself to blame if the Hottentot tot hoots and toots at him.
Fine, I'll tell him when he comes in.
Jim, it's just supposed to divert your attention for a moment, that's all. Then you won't lose your temper.
Margaret, I'm not going to. May I please have the morning paper?
The paper? Oh, well, Betty came down to look at it first thing this morning. It's in the breakfast note.
Thank you. Oh, no.
Was there something wrong, dear?
Margaret, look what she did to this paper. How in the world do they expect a man to read anything as messed up as this? Why is it that whenever I want to see anything around here...
Jim?
Somebody always... I will not lose my temper. I shall control my temper if it kills me.
Good morning, Mother.
Oh, good morning, Betty.
Morning, Father. I said good morning, Father. Father.
Betty, I wouldn't bother your father this morning.
But I didn't do anything. Oh, he found out I drove the car on a flat tire.
You what?
Betty, please.
Margaret.
Yes, dear?
To hoot and toot what?
Thank you.
I'll write it down for you, dear. If to hoot and to toot,
hoot and toot,
a hottentot tot be taught by a hottentot tutor, ought the tutor get hot if the hottentot tot hoot and toot at the hottentot tutor.
Thank you. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Father.
And how are you this beautiful morning?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. Are you all right?
Just fine. Coffee about ready, Margaret?
Well, yes, dear. Here you are.
Thank you. Well, Betty, are you and Billy Smith planning on a big time tonight?
Oh, yes, Father. Mr. Smith's going to let Billy have their brand new car, and we're going to a barn dance. In a barn!
Well, what'll they think of next? Say, Margaret.
Yes, dear?
Heck and Elizabeth are going to the party at the Hathaways, too, aren't they?
Well, I think so.
Well, if Heck's letting Billy take their new car, they won't have any transportation. We'd better arrange to pick them up.
All right, dear.
Will you call Elizabeth?
Yes, dear.
Fine.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, Daddy.
Kathy, that wasn't you, was it?
What wasn't me, Daddy?
Morning, everybody. How's every little old thing?
Oh, thank goodness. I thought for a minute we were going to have two elephants in the house.
What's the matter, Dad?
Nothing, only I wish you'd learn to walk down the stairs.
You bet. Hey, Mom, I'm starving.
Poor little thing.
Well, I haven't eaten since last night. Say, Dad, speaking of money...
Who said anything about money?
Well, nobody, but I'm going to.
I see.
One stack of wheat's coming up.
Thank you, ma'am. Kathy, may I have a syrup, please?
Yes, Daddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Christmas is over, too. What were you saying, Bud?
Well, the way I figure it, a dollar a week is all right when you're 15, but you see, I'll be 16 in another 5 or 6 months, and... Well, you see, when you're 15, you don't have to worry about girls much, but when you get to be 15 and a half, well... Let's say you go to the movies and you meet a girl. I mean, even if she buys her own ticket... You know what they charge for ice cream sodas? Gosh. Even if you only get a root beer or something, or... No, huh?
No?
I didn't mean a lot, Dad. I just thought another 50 cents. Quarter, maybe?
But don't you realize that if I gave you a larger allowance, you would never be sure if a girl liked you for your money or yourself?
Well, gosh, who'd care?
But eat your breakfast and behave yourself.
I don't have any breakfast to eat.
I'll have your pancakes in just a minute.
Holy cow. Everybody else gets more than a dollar, and they don't even do half the things I do.
Bud, I've had just about all the complaining I'm going to stand. If I hear one more word out of you, so help me...
Jim?
If to hoot and to toot a hot and tot... All right. Bud, eat your breakfast.
Holy cow, what was that?
Never mind what it was. Eat your breakfast and be quiet.
Holy cow.
But I don't know what they teach you in your school, but for a 15-year-old boy, you have the most bovine vocabulary I've ever heard.
What does that mean?
It means stop saying holy cow.
Gee whiz.
Here you are, Bud. Nice hot pancakes.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
Bud.
Yes, Dan?
Did you put ashes on the driveway last night?
Yes, Dad.
And the front walk?
Yes, Dad.
Good. As soon as you've had your breakfast, please see if you can find my tire chains. It's going to be slippery driving tonight.
Okay, Dad.
Some more pancakes, dear?
I'm afraid not, Margaret. I've got to get down to the office.
Oh, that seems such a shame, Jim. Everybody else in town is taking a full weekend.
Margaret, you certainly don't think I like the idea. But when Mr. Gribble says he wants to straighten out his insurance, well, we just straighten out his insurance, that's all.
But couldn't it wait until Tuesday?
Oh, no, that's next year. Mr. Gribble says it's got to be examined this year.
Daddy?
No.
Gee whiz. You'd think I was a stepchild or something.
Well, I ought to be through by one anyway, so it won't be too bad. If I get through earlier, I'll come home for lunch. How's that?
Oh, that'll be fine, dear. Oh, Jim, you forgot the paper.
Paper? Oh, the thing with the Hottentot. Okay, let me have it.
There you are, dear.
Thank you. Be a good girl.
I will.
So long, kids.
So bye, Father. Bye, Daddy.
And I'll call you by noon. I'll have my lunch downtown.
All right, dear. Drink your milk, Kathy.
All I ever do is drink milk.
What happened to my other rubber?
I don't know, dear. Did you look in the closet?
Well, never mind. I've got it. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
Daddy.
Bud, I wish you'd learn not to annoy your father at breakfast.
I didn't do anything. All I said
was... Oh, dear. Now what?
Oh, it sounded like he fell down.
Oh.
How could he fall down? I put ashes on the sidewalk.
Oh, Jim. Oh. Jim, darling, what happened?
My back. My poor broken back.
You fell down, huh, Dad?
Yes, I fell down. Why didn't you put ashes on the steps?
He didn't say to put ashes on the steps. He just said to put them on the sidewalk in the driveway.
Margaret, where did I put that paper?
I don't know, dear.
Never mind, I've got it.
Gosh, I'm sorry,
Dad. Just a moment. If to hoot and to toot a Hottentot tot be taught by a Hottentot tutor, ought the tutor get hot if the Hottentot tot hoot and toot at the Hottentot tutor? Bud?
Yes, Dan?
Put ashes on the steps. Nobody can say Father isn't trying. This time of year, good resolutions, they're mighty important to a man. Of course, good coffee, truly good coffee, like our Maxwell House, well, that's important the whole year round. How much it means, that wonderful good to the last drop flavor. No other coffee gives it to you. No coffee but Maxwell House. There's a reason for this, a good one. It's a recipe. The only recipe in the entire coffee world for that famous good to the last drop flavor. After all, what's the most important thing about coffee? Sure, it's flavor. And that flavor depends on the blend, the kind of coffees you choose for it, and how you put them together. Now, in different countries, on different plantations, coffee is grown in countless varieties, and you can combine them in many, many ways. But here's the point. There's only one way, one recipe for our famous Maxwell House flavor. And this recipe of ours makes the great big difference between just any coffee and wonderfully good coffee that can add something friendly and cheering to every day of the year ahead. So think about it. If good coffee really means something to you, why don't you start enjoying America's favorite brand? Yes, tomorrow and every day. Enjoy Maxwell House coffee. It's always good to the last drop.
In the white frame house on Maple Street, lunchtime has come and gone. As a matter of fact, so is dinner time, and Jim Anderson still hasn't returned. The rest of the family has eaten, but Father... Oh, just a minute. Here he comes now.
Mr. Gribble? Of all the miserable, ill-mannered, inconsiderate, unreliable creatures that has ever been my misfortune to meet...
Jim, is that you?
I'll be in a minute, Margaret. You, Mr. Gribble, take the first, second, and third prizes. I wouldn't care if you owned a dozen factories. If you want to place your insurance with another office, it's perfectly all right with me.
Oh, Jim, dear, we've been awfully worried, and... Who are you talking to?
Mr. Gribble, that puny excuse for a foghorn.
Mr. Gribble, is he here?
I don't know where he is. I've been waiting for him all day, and he still hasn't shown up. First it was 10 o'clock, then 1 o'clock, then 3, then 5.
What's the matter, Dad? Anything wrong?
No, everything's fine. Just dandy.
We saved your dinner for you, dear.
I had a sandwich downtown. The nerve of the guy, keeping me in the office a whole day, and then doesn't even have the decency...
Jim.
What is it, Margaret?
To hoot and to toot.
Oh, hoot and toot my foot. Even a Hottentot has a right to get mad once in a while.
Well, I suppose you know best, dear.
Dad.
I wouldn't care if it were just an ordinary business day. I could understand that.
Dad.
But he knew I was going to the office just to meet him. He knew it was a holiday weekend.
Say, Dad.
There wasn't another office open in the entire building. Nobody to talk to. Nothing.
Dad.
What?
What?
What is it? What do you want?
I found the tire chains.
Good.
They're busted.
Oh, I don't know. This was such a nice year. Why did it have to end like this? What's wrong with the chains, Bud?
They're a mess. Kathy really fixed them.
I did not. I didn't even touch them.
All right, Kathy, never mind. Margaret.
Yes, dear.
Do you suppose Kathy could have dictaphones planted around the house?
I wouldn't think so, dear.
Then how could she hear us clear out in the kitchen?
Daddy, don't you listen to Bud. I haven't even seen the tire chain since Thanksgiving.
Well, that's when you busted them.
Oh, I did not.
You certainly did.
I certainly didn't.
You certainly did.
I certainly didn't.
All right, kids, please. I can't take any of that tonight. I've got a splitting headache, and I'd like things to be peaceful and quiet just for a little while.
Okay, Dad.
I didn't bust them.
All right, Kathy. Time for your bath, and then get ready for bed.
You mean now?
I mean now.
Drink your milk. Take a bath. Go to bed. Boy, am I in a rut.
Jim, maybe if you took a little nap, you...
Oh, it isn't that bad, honey. I'll be all right if we can manage just a little less confusion around here.
Father, may I talk to you for a minute, please?
Sure, why doesn't everybody talk to me? Let's invite the General Council of the United Nations in for the weekend.
Betty, your father has a headache.
Well, creepers, all I said was, could I talk to him for a minute? What's wrong with that?
Not a thing, Betty. What is it?
Well, Billy Smith said, his father said, he could have the car. But if it's going to be slippery out, and the radio said it was going to be the worst New Year's Eve we've had in Springfield in over 20 years, and they wouldn't be surprised if we even had more snow before morning. He can't.
If a hottentot toots a tootin' toot.
Betty, this is not the time to annoy your father with Billy Smith's problems.
But, Mother, if it's going to snow...
I'll get it.
Betty, let me put it this way. If a blizzard and six other forms of common disaster were to strike Springfield at this particular moment, I still wouldn't care what Billy Smith's father said to Billy Smith.
Hello? Oh, hello. Sure, just a minute. Dad?
Yes?
Mr. Smith.
Well, naturally, the way I feel, who else could it possibly be? Hello, Heck.
Say, Jim, you're going to that shindig at the Hathaways, aren't you?
That's right, Heck.
Well, I was just wondering, how'd you like to drive over with us? Got a new car, you know.
Yes, I know, Heck, but Betty said you were going to let Billy have your car.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Jim. You see, the way I figure it, after all, Billy is going with Betty, and I've got a brand new car, and if they get a few scratches on that old heap of yours, it wouldn't make an awful lot of difference. Did you say something, Jim?
No, not yet.
Oh, well, like I was saying, now, if you were to let Billy use your old car...
Hoot.
Then we could go in my new car.
Toot.
How about it, Jim?
The hottentot toots are tootin' tot. Hector?
Yes?
No. Never in all my life have I ever heard anything like that.
What is it, dear?
He wants me to lend Billy my car so his car won't get scratched up. The nerve of the man.
Father, you mean you said no?
I most emphatically said no. Margaret, what's gotten into everybody?
I don't know, dear.
If that isn't the worst example of... I think the whole world is going nuts. And I'm going with them.
Bud.
Never mind, Bud, I'll answer it. Doesn't want his car scratched up. But if they skid mine into a telephone pole, that'd be all right.
Jim, my boy, I'm terribly sorry. I wouldn't have had this happen for the world.
Oh, well, come on in, Mr. Grivel.
Thank you. I got all tied up with my lawyers and... Well, I can only hope you'll forgive me.
Oh, sure. That's the sort of thing that can happen to anybody. Let me have your coat.
Oh, thank you. I'll just drop it here in the chair.
Jim, if you're going to change your clothes, you better...
Oh, hello, Mr. Gribble.
Mrs. Anderson. Well, all dressed up, I see.
Margaret, Mr. Gribble and I are going into the den, but we won't be long.
All right, dear.
Come along, Mr. Gribble.
Thank you.
There's no hurry. I'm going to help Betty dress.
Charming woman, Mrs. Anderson. Absolutely charming. You're a lucky man, Jim. Yes, indeed, a very lucky man.
Thank you. Sit down, Mr. Gribble.
Well, Jim, shall we get started?
Get what?
We got a busy night ahead of us, so let's go to work.
Now, wait a minute. You mean you came out here to go through your insurance tonight?
Well, naturally, this is the 31st. Tomorrow starts a new year. Got to have my affairs in order by midnight.
Why?
Why? Good Lord, man, what do you mean, why? Because, well, because I've always done it that way, that's why. Now, let's have an end to this foolishness and get to work. Or would you rather I placed my insurance with another organization?
What's that?
Mr. Gribble, I made a resolution for the new year, so I want you to notice that I am in complete control of my temper. My hand is steady, my eye is clear, and yet, very calmly and with absolute composure, I say, Mr. Gribble, you are an idiot.
He's gone mad.
You know, I think you're right. But this is New Year's Eve. I'm going to a party with my wife. We're going to have a good time. You and your lawyers and your insurance and your big fat factories can go jump into the nearest lake.
He has gone mad.
I'm not Jim Anderson. I'm a hottentot-tot, and I don't give a hoot. So goodbye, Mr. Gribble. Here's your coat, here's your hat. Goodbye, good luck, and I'll see you around the pool room. Well, business is picking up.
Hiya, Jim.
Oh, you.
Oh, come on in, Hack. Well, thanks. Don't mind if I do. Oh, hello, Mr. Gribble. Goodbye, Mr. Gribble. What's the matter with him?
Too much money. What's your excuse?
Jim, I came over to apologize.
Oh, you did, huh?
You know, I waited a long time for that car, Jim, but, well, heck, I'd rather have an old friend than a new car any day. How about it, Jim?
Sure. Never even happened.
Thanks, pal. Oh, could we pick Elizabeth up on the way to the party?
Where's your car?
Oh, Billy's got it outside. And so help me, if he gets one scratch on it... You don't suppose he will, do you, Jim?
Why, of course not.
Busy little place you got here, isn't it?
Just like living in an alley.
Anderson, I want to talk to you.
All right, let's go back into the den. Will you excuse us, Heck?
Oh, sure. Don't worry about me. I'll take Bud outside and show him the new car.
All right, Mr. Gribble, what's on your mind?
Anderson?
Yes?
Jim?
Yes?
Do you really think I'm an idiot?
Well, when you put it that way, yes.
You know what?
What?
You're right. But you're the first man in 20 years who had the courage to tell me. Jim, I'm not really an idiot. I'm just lonesome.
You?
Uh-huh.
Well, where's your family?
Oh, they go south for the winter. Been doing it for 20 years. And, Jim, I don't mind being alone in that big house, but not on New Year's Eve.
You mean you've been pulling a gag like this for 20 years?
Well, not exactly like this. I've never been caught before.
Well, why didn't you say so? You could have spent the evening with us. You still can.
Oh, you're going to a party.
That's nothing. So are you.
Well, what do you know? And I won't even have to talk about insurance.
Ye gods, now what? Bud! Bud! Bud, what's going on out there?
It's okay, Dad. Mr. Smith pushed the horn and it got stuck.
Oh, fine.
Jim, is anything wrong?
No, dear. Everything's all right.
All right. Everything's wonderful. Happy New Year!
Yeah.
This time of year, enthusiasm like Mr. Gribble's is catching. And that's something we're all in favor of. We hope everything's wonderful with you, too. Yes, and during the year ahead, we hope it'll be even more so. For our part, during 1950, we're going to see to it that you enjoy wonderfully good coffee, every pound of Maxwell House you open. I know that these days, more than ever before, you're on the lookout for the most in flavor for every penny you spend. And next year, just as every year for more than half a century, that's what you can expect in every pound of our Maxwell House coffee. A generous extra measure of flavor, of freshness and fragrance in every familiar blue tin. And with this promise from Maxwell House, let me extend again our sincerest wishes to you for a very happy and healthy new year.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of our show, Mr. Robert Young.
Thank you very much. Tonight, for the first time since this program went on the air, I'm stepping out of character to make a personal appeal to our radio audience. During the next year, which is only a few days away, we on Father Knows Best are to be actively associated with the Inter-Industry Highway Safety Committee, an organization formed at the personal request of President Truman. The purpose of this committee is to combat the greatest menace our nation has ever known, a menace which each year takes a greater toll of life than even so fearsome a killer as war. I refer, of course, to the careless, or perhaps just thoughtless, drivers who race with breakneck and foolhardy speed along our open highways and through our city streets. We'll tell you more about it next year, but now we'd like to jump the gun just a little bit. There's a long weekend coming up, and it's been predicted that hundreds of men, women, and children will lose their lives during that three-day period. Think of it. The National Safety Council anticipates that horrible and unnecessary loss of life. And in the past, they've been unfortunately correct. Now, why don't you do your part this weekend to make them wrong? Have a good time. Have a lot of fun. But don't take any chances. Drive carefully. Drive thoughtfully. And enjoy the happiest of New Years.
Like good things the easy way.
Good things the easy way.
Instant Maxwell House, that's for you.
Good coffee that's easy too.
No time, no trouble.
No grounds, no fuss.
And it's good to the very last.
You know what?
Yes, Instant Maxwell House means great coffee instantly in your cup. Here's real instant coffee. All pure Maxwell House coffee in instant form. Enjoy Instant Maxwell House. Instantly.
Good to the very last, you know what.
Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday night, for myself and for the makers of Maxwell House Coffee and Instant Maxwell House, let me wish you again a very happy and healthy new year. Now stay tuned in for Screen Guild Theater, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
James Stewart leads the cast on Screen Guild Theater, next on NBC.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 69 and partly cloudy. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-50s. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, snow showers with a low in the low 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.